all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
I can confirm that is all true. Thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, April 8th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a question for you. You weren't hoping to get a glimpse of today's eclipse, were you? Because you've been hearing about it for weeks, and you always knew that, you know, cloudy skies could get in the way. And the short answer to today's question is don't get your hopes up. Lots of clouds in the forecast, except in the far southern portions of the state, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Janesville, Lake Geneva, places like that. If you are in an area that will give you a view of today's eclipse, again, use all the right precautions. There is nothing I can say about precautions. There's no tips sheet that I can offer you, Greg Bach, if you're looking at the eclipse. There's nothing more I can do except to put up that photo of Donald Trump staring right up into an eclipse back in 2017. Don't be that guy.
Good morning, still a pretty Mark. Funny in a sight. Like, just that look of like, hey.
How are you?
I'm doing well now that I just found out my $12.50 worth of glasses are a waste of money.
You didn't.
I bought a box of glasses for the station so we could watch it.
Oh, that was very kind of you.
Yeah. It was stupid, too.
Yeah, I mean, that would have entertained them, but so would have lighting the $12 on fire.
You know what?
I like that, too.
Boy, your sympathy is really soaking through your words here, buddy.
I have tons of sympathy for you.
Okay, whatever.
I think that was a very nice attempt on your part.
Hey, can I try out a sound effect I just got for the show? I can. Yeah, I'll make it in context of this. Be like, just say to me, "Oh, the eclipse is going to have clouds. You might not see it, Greg."
You know, Greg, there's going to be clouds. You might not see the eclipse.
But I bought glasses.
Is that like fair use now?
No, I just took it.
Was last night the was the final episode?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. I'm a terrible comedian. There are so many comic things that I don't not enjoy it. I just never watched it, so I'm just like, there's so much, and Curb fans can be a bit much sometimes. So I just leave it all alone. I don't say one good thing or one bad thing because I don't need the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, nope, it's better than Seinfeld. Okay.
Oh, God. No, I never got into it, and there's a reason why. And I don't have anything against Larry David per se.
Yeah.
But there is somebody else who basically does his whole shtick, even though he's a sports writer and a podcast host and things like that. Anybody who watches ESPN and watches the show Pardon the Interruption knows who Tony Kornheiser is. Tony, and I've listened to his stuff for years and years and years. But he's Larry David without the meanness. And, you know, sometimes the stuff that Larry David, and again, the Larry David character isn't always trying to be mean, much like me talking about lighting your $12 on fire. I'm not trying to be mean, just comes off that way sometimes. So I just never got big into Curb. When I'd see the clip, I'd go, yeah, that's pretty good, but am I going to sit down and watch it? No. Yeah. So now all the people that watch the finale are just aghast hearing you and me.
Hey, you know, but if you watched the finale last night, I hope you enjoyed it for real. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it gave you some closure.
I hope that he and Cheryl Hines and who else was in there, I hope they were all sitting in a booth in a restaurant and Journey was playing Don't Stop Believing and Larry David looks up and the screen goes to black. And we just never know what happened. Wouldn't that be great if more shows just kind of did that? Just like it became a thing. We're just all going to end our series, you know, like that now. You know why? Because it'd be better than the way Seinfeld ended it. It had to be one of the worst series finales ever. Them sitting in a jail cell pulling back.
Ugh. I think for the show that they gave you for nearly 10 years, that's exactly it couldn't have been bells and whistles. That's the, but like, you know, How I Met Your Mother's series ending was like,
This Oh my God. That's awful. Right up there. Yes. Yes.
This is like, I feel like you were just like a show that you told us we have everything planned out for seasons on and it's going to be a puzzle and you're going to be a part of this and blah, 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 blah. And then it just turns out to be that. And you're like, I feel like you just hurt us.
You never had an ending in mind. You were slapping something together, you know, hoping that something would stick to the wall.
Same with Game of Thrones. Ugh.
Game of Thrones. Well, yes, I wouldn't put it on like top five worst, but yeah, top 10. Yeah. Now, by the way, I hasten to add then we got to think of a couple of really good ones. For my money, you're never going to top Newhart.
Newhart was a great ending.
Where he wakes up in bed with Suzanne Plachette.
Oh, that's a great ending.
Just so
Saint good. Elsewhere, that's a weird ending.
I heard, yes. I was not a viewer, but when I heard how it ended, I'm like, okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you have ideas or suggestions on best or worst series finales, let us know. God knows we're not the only experts on this. 855-75-CIVIC. Call it, text it. We'd love to get a note from
you. If
you
can figure out how to end this series, Pat was in the Caribbean the entire time.
Did this all from the beach. It was so hard for you not to hear the waves. Let's see. Let's get the temperatures around the state right now. And then we have to ask Greg about his weekend at the Laughing Tap. So okay. that's coming up. But right now, temperatures are 15 to 20 degrees warmer than they were Friday morning. It's 44 up here in Chippewa Falls, 41 in Hayward, Park Falls at 39, Wausau 42, Green Bay 45, La Crosse 46, Wisconsin Rapids 42 degrees right now, Oshkosh 42, Madison 45, Waukesha 41. It was a quiet but productive weekend up here on the lake because we're doing a new project. Our garage is not fully finished. And so we're finally going to put some insulation and drywall on, you know, the parts that aren't done yet, the parts that aren't attached to the house. So we're just kind of giving it a little garage makeover, which means taking everything off all of the walls, all of the shelves in your garage, and piling it all in the middle of the garage.
Ugh.
And I've lived in this house for coming up on 29 years. How big do you think that pile is? That's a burn pile right there.
That's a big old pile of stuff.
It would qualify as burn pit for, you know, status for veterans if they got too close to this thing. But we're not going to burn it, but we're going to have to weed through it at some point and say, okay, what goes back on the new shelves and what doesn't make the cut? And then if there's enough stuff, you have that next worry. Well, do we take it to Goodwill? Do we thrift sale it? Do I want to thrift sale? Then you got to sit there. Now I'm starting to sound like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Sitting there, you know, and we're bickering over prices for this thing that I think is valuable and somebody else says is not.
I paid $12 for this chair.
It says Super Bowl champions, you know, from 2011 or whatever the case may be. Yeah. What about you? Now, you had the Laughing Tap. Did you have a good weekend there?
Yeah, nothing went wrong at all. Totally smooth sailing from start to finish. So, kicked my feet up the entire time with a cocktail and laughter.
Why don't I believe you?
Because it's all a lie. No, we had...
The man has to work. He works.
We had four shows. They were all great. Shane Torres is absolutely hilarious. He's working on a new hour right now. Very, very nice. The openers were great. We did have on Friday our early show. We had some trouble customers.
Oh, People, come on.
Yeah, a group of people came in. We had a little bit of back and forth in the beginning because there was some confusion over something, but that was solved quickly, and I apologize for misinformation that I had given them because I was wrong on something, and I thought, all right, cool. But then it was seven of them, and then they just were talking, and they were talking, and it went, so it started off with us having to tell them to keep their volume down when they were ordering at the bar because the bar at the club is inside the showroom itself. So there's no separation. Mm-hmm. So you got to just use some common sense that you're just use a whispery voice when you're ordering your drinks. So we had to tell them to be quiet then. And then I had to tell their group to be quiet. And then we had to close the door because for the women's bathroom, because they were being so loud in there. Then I had a customer come and complain about them. So I went up to them and I said, you have to be quiet. If I have to tell you again, you have to leave. And I couldn't tell them that right away because the woman who I was trying to direct my attention towards was had her back turned to me because she was talking to the people behind her. So I said, if I have to tell you again, you have to leave. And then it seemed like they were starting to gather their things. Cause we've done this before where we'll tell them to be quiet. And then they're like, we're leaving. I'm like, all right, good. Leave. It's one less thing I have to worry about. Yeah.
Don't go away mad. Just go away.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then finally I just walked up to him and said, y'all have to leave. And I felt bad because two of them of the seven were watching the show and not talking. Mm-hmm. And so they gathered their stuff. They took a long time to do it, but finally they did leave. And usually, like, if they feel like they have been quote unquote wronged by my tyrannical
tyrannical
directives, they'll look at me or they'll, like, you know, say something snarky like, well, they suck anyways, or, you know, we're never coming back here. I'm like, we won't miss you, buddy. But no, they left with their, they're just facing out. They didn't look at me, nothing. And that's what you do. You ruin the night for some, you ruin the night for people. Like, what are you doing? You're adults.
Yep. It's not just about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Common courtesy, people.
Yes. Just
a little common courtesy. Well, I hope that was a one and done situation. And, you know, the next several weeks here, you have nothing but nice, friendly, cooperative, courteous people.
Yes, please. Me too.
You deserve that. Me too. You deserve that, along with the people working so hard. I'm still working on the Steve Martin autobiography, Born Standing Up.
Yeah.
Read a big chunk of it yesterday or last night. And I mean, you know, I already have such an appreciation for stand-up comics and all the time trying to hone things. And he's talking about years of honing what became, you know, his shtick in the mid 70s there. Yeah. And I just I appreciate it that much more. So I hope that this coming weekend is a really good one with
Thank
a really good crowd.
You
deserve that. We're going to talk on the other side of the break here about sports because we can't squeeze it in the next 25 seconds here. But the Milwaukee Bucks are officially slumping, and the Milwaukee Brewers are officially not, as they take 2 out of 3 from the Seattle Mariners. We'll have details on those things. Also, President Biden coming to Wisconsin. And tomorrow, an interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin, a one-on-one that we did together just over a week ago. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This one's squarely in the We Kid Because We Care, because Hall & Oates isn't really in today's history lesson. But yesterday was John Oates' 76th birthday. So I figured one day off is close enough to play a little Hall & Oates.
Yeah, of course.
All of my special Hall & Oates fans out there, who I love very, very much.
It's a very small contingency of your audience is the Hall & Oates subset.
The Hall & Oates subset that gets the joke. Yes, absolutely. William Contreras hit 2 home runs. Willie Adames also homered, and the Brewers pounded the Seattle Mariners 12-4 on Sunday to take 2 of 3 in the series and improve their record to 6-2 to get the 2024 campaign started. Starting pitcher Colin Ray improved to 2-0 after going 6 innings, allowing 2 runs on 7 hits. The Brewers then hit the road right away. Tonight, they start 4 games in Cincinnati and then 3 more in Baltimore coming up next weekend. The Brewers are going to start Aaron Ashby against the Reds tonight. Ashby missed all of last season after a long layoff from shoulder surgery. You can hear that Brewers-Reds game starting at 5:05 this evening on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Well, the final week of the NBA regular season is here, and it cannot come soon enough for the Milwaukee Bucks, who lost their 4th game in a row on Sunday at home to the New York Knicks, 122-109. The Bucks have now lost 6 of their last 7 games, and under new coach Doc Rivers, the Bucks' record is now 15 wins, 17 losses. They next host the Boston Celtics tomorrow night. And then after that, there are only 3 regular season games left They will host Orlando on Wednesday. That'll be the final home game of the regular season. Then they are at Oklahoma City Friday night, and they're at Orlando on Sunday afternoon. And then it is off to the postseason. But tomorrow night's game can be heard on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center, Lake Air and Amory, WRJN and Racine, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. And again, we don't really get deep into sports talk analysis here, but I'm Greg, it's cliche, but if you're going to slump, you know, you got to do it right now before the postseason so that you avoid what happened last year in the postseason when you get blown out in the first round. So
I don't understand basketball. We had, I can't remember. I think it was J.R. Radcliffe on last week, and he was talking about this is the great time to slump. Basically, he was saying without saying it, no one really cares about the regular season that much.
Right.
As long as you walk away with a good seed, then it's all about the postseason. And I'm like, I get that, but also that's not. I don't know. It just
when I go to a game, a regular season game, I pay money for that ticket. Yeah. So I expect to see the team try to win, you know?
Yeah.
I don't expect to see, oh, we're just, you know, getting shaken off some of the rust. Like, no, I want you to be good, like, all the time.
And I kind of hate Doc Rivers' post-game interviews.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what he said last night, but the one on, you know, the couple last week where, I mean, it's just, it's never him. It's always, oh, the team this and the team that. And I could just kind of see the team going, hey, forget you.
Yeah.
You know, let's see where's this magical coaching that we keep hearing about.
At the very least, give us some, like, you know, long pontification. Like, what do you think? Oh, they outplayed us. All right. Well, thanks for the interview, buddy. I mean, I can say that.
Right. Yeah. So we got these few games left, and then we'll see what their final seed is, because they've been in the two position well behind the Boston Celtics for most of the season here, but they're in danger of dropping to a three seed. But again, hey, what do I know? Maybe a three seed is better, you know.
No, Pat, what you don't understand about basketball is that the pathetic is always the most important. Baseball.
And that ends our sports talk analysis from Greg and Pat on the NBA playoffs. All right, President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin to announce details on a new plan to ease student loan debt for millions of Americans. He's going to make the announcement at Madison Area Technical College. The new federal rule paving the way for student debt relief is going to be not expected to be fully issued by the time the president speaks, though we did get some details over the past couple of hours on, you know, the things that they're going to try to do. And I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here. So let me find a nice little summary. Here's something that says the president's new plan would expand federal student loan relief to new yet targeted categories of borrowers through the Higher Education Act. And so to try to put this in, you know, terms that aren't too filled with legal jargon, the president tried a very sweeping proposal to address student loan debt, which is approaching something like $2 trillion in this country. And the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court said no. They rejected that plan. And so he's had to go through it on a much more piecemeal basis using existing law, which allows, say, the administration to cancel or provide relief from student debt for various groups of students. And as I'm looking through the list here, there's a lot here out of different categories. For example, canceling student debt for borrowers who entered repayment more than 20 years ago. There is a category of canceling student loan debt for borrowers experiencing hardship paying back old loans. There is an unparalleled record of canceling student debt previous to this. There was another special category here, basically, that where the amount of interest that you still owe is more than what you borrowed originally. That's a problem. And again, these are Americans who did what they thought was the right thing, despite the onerous terms in their student loan agreement. They got the education so that they could get good jobs. But paying off that debt has proven to be a tremendous hardship. And in large part, lest you think we're just going to sit here and blame the borrowers, in large part because we have had elected officials over the past generation or so that have allowed the cost of a higher education to skyrocket. My generation, early Gen X, you could work a summer job, and that summer job would cover your tuition. It would cover the tuition. It would cover room and board and books. You could do that on a summer job. And now you can't do it on an entire family's income in the case of some schools, because there's just not as much value put into a good education by too many of our elected officials who have allowed the cost to go up and up and have allowed predatory lenders to come in. So President Biden is going to talk all about that today in Madison. And it's not just him. The administration has officials all over the place. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Philadelphia. The Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, will be in New York City and more, making sure that folks understand what the president's trying to do. Because apparently in the polling, it indicates that a lot of younger Americans, people who might have student loan debt, think that the lack of progress on that is something that President Biden is responsible for rather than the U.S. Supreme Court or an intransigent Congress. To this point, the administration has already canceled $62 billion in student debt for 871 public service workers and another $45 billion for nearly 1 million borrowers through another program. So progress is being made more so than any other president to make sure that folks understand the value of a higher education into Americans' local economies. Back with more after this. You're up north. Was the number one album this day in 1990, just still one of my favorites of all time, Nick of Time by Bonnie Raitt. It is 6:35 on this Monday morning, April the, I got to fix my glasses prescription here, April 8th. Here, why don't I just bring the date up on our video screen here? Yeah, April 8th. There it is. I found it. Otherwise, it's in those very tiny letters up in the corner of the screen. Meanwhile, in another corner of the screen, I'm looking at the fax line. Or fax. Oh, my God. Greg, ring the bell. Text line. It's the text line.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That was amazing. My day, you did that, and I started faxes. Scrambling. I'm like, oh, God, I got to say something. I got to press something. I got to do something. Oh, my gosh. Greg, fetch me the message from the mimeograph. It's come through. The ticker.
If I'd have given you time to find a fax machine sound effect, you could play that every time I read something off the text line.
Oh my God.
From a listener in the Chippewa Falls area, he writes, a few years ago, my son was working a customer service job that he didn't particularly like. The highlight of his 6-month tenure was a delightful, very delightful 10-minute diversionary conversation with Larry David, who was having difficulty with a durable good. He laughingly called my son a smart you-know-what and gave him 2 minutes of career counseling.
That's fantastic.
I love that.
See, I've heard he's a very nice guy, too. Like,
yes, yeah.
We also have another email that came through on the line here. I just got to sign in real quick here. Hold on. This takes forever.
I know. When you get it, just let me know.
Yeah. Give me 30 to 40 more seconds.
Sure. No worries.
Here comes my favorite part. When you were 17 and this went through, you're waiting for those magic words. Oh, this is a bad one. It's a bad connection.
This is like trying to watch pay-per-view through the scrambling back in the day.
You wanted to hear those magic words. You've got mail.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
The fax machine.
He said fax line. Former President Trump held a fundraiser with nothing but high rollers at his Palm Beach, Florida estate over the weekend. It didn't really help his cause much beyond raising money from some of the millionaires and billionaires who were there. He was looking to outraise what Biden raised in New York City the week before when he raised $26 million. The Trump event was hosted by hedge fund founder John Paulson. The Biden campaign took note of that and some of the other attendees and some of the remarks that Trump made to the billionaires. The statement said, if you want to know who Donald Trump will fight for in a second term, just look at who he's having over for dinner Saturday night. Tax cheats, scammers, racists, and extremists. The Biden campaign pointed to Paulson, whom Trump is reportedly considering for Treasury Secretary if he wins, and who said in a 2018 New York University interview that Social Security could be switched from defined contribution to defined benefit. Another attendee was Jeff Yass, the billionaire businessman, major investor in TikTok, who floated the idea of privatizing Social Security. Let's see, they pointed to Michael Hodges, founder of Payday Lender. He's a founder of a payday lender who told other payday lenders a couple years back that contributing to Trump's 2020 campaign could mean access to the administration, and that included from people like members of the Mercer family. Hedge fund manager Robert Mercer has argued that the Civil Rights Act was a mistake. Another attendee was John Katsimatidis, who was a billionaire who ran for New York City mayor in 2013, who compared President Obama's plans in 2013 to raise taxes on the wealthy to, quote, how Hitler punished the Jews. Actual words said by attendees at Trump's fundraiser. The Biden campaign also noted that Trump's grassroots fundraising, which had been a strong spot for him in the past, has slowed down significantly. Well, no wonder, with everybody seeing how much of the money that they sent in isn't going to help Trump campaign. It's going to pay Trump's legal bills instead for the many court cases that he finds himself involved in. Meanwhile, Trump did promise a room full of billionaires that he would keep their taxes low if they were to help him get back into office. There are several provisions of the big Republican tax bill of 2017 that are slated to phase out over the next year or so. They were favors that were done to hedge funds, private equity funds, other privately held banks, things like that. Those were the real beneficiaries of the 2017 Republican tax bill. A lot of people look at Trump and they go, well, he cut taxes back in 2017. I think, as a lot of Wisconsinites know from the 2020 campaign when Ron Johnson was running again, Ron Johnson played a pivotal role in that 2017 bill in that he wouldn't support it until it included a different kind of business tax break that he acknowledged was going to benefit him personally and really benefited some of his biggest donors. And again, there was tax relief in there for the middle class for a few years. That, by and large, has expired or is expiring. And then the tax benefits for the super wealthy are about to expire. Trump is saying if you elect him, he will keep in place the ones for hedge funds, private equity funds, things like that. Biden campaign statement says that Donald Trump has spent his entire presidency lining the pockets of wealthy tax avoiders like himself at the expense of the middle class. Now Trump is making it clear to his billionaire buddies that he'll take his first chance to double down on tax giveaways for the ultra-wealthy while fighting to rip away health care, Social Security, Medicare, and raise costs on working families. Now, how much did Trump actually make at this event with millionaires over the weekend? We don't know. They will say what they believed they raised, but until campaign finance reports come out later, there won't be any way to confirm how that has gone over the weekend. But we do know the words that were spoken to those billionaires and what it would mean for all the rest of us as taxpayers. Some very encouraging news from northern and central Wisconsin, and it's about the elk herd. And I saw this in a Journal Sentinel story over the weekend. Paul Smith put it together, all about the management of the state's growing elk herd. And the reason that you need a management plan for the elk herd is because it's growing so nicely. folks who are maybe younger or newer arrivals to Wisconsin will probably not remember that time in the mid-1990s, early to mid-90s, when it was a big deal that there was discussion about elk being reintroduced to Wisconsin. Elk had been native to Wisconsin, but were basically wiped out by unregulated hunting and loss of habitat from the 1800s onward. But former Governor Tommy Thompson and the legislature set up the process to bring elk back in 1995. It started with 25 animals transferred from Michigan and released into the Shawamigan Nicolet National Forest near Clam Lake. I recall seeing the video back then, and a lot of people had their fingers crossed, hoped that they'd done the right thing, that they weren't all going to be lost to, you know, predation, hunters making mistakes, car crashes, you know, what have you. No, they've actually thrived. More elk were brought in from Kentucky later on. But from that initial group of 25 in Clam Lake, the Wisconsin population is now 515, split among two different groups, about 350 in the north and about 160 around Jackson County in the central part of the state. As a result, there's already been the availability of a bull elk hunt in the northern area, and there may soon be one for that central region as well. And it's what's leading to the drawing up of a herd maintenance plan, which, again, is just such a nice follow-up from something that you know, we've been following for the better part of 30 years here in Wisconsin. It's nice to see some of the progress that's being made. I mentioned that President Biden will be coming here talking about student loan debt. That's just one of many ways that investments are being made in Wisconsin families, in the Wisconsin economy. You've heard us speak quite often with Melissa Baldoff on our weekly climate check segment about the investments that the Biden administration is making in terms of clean energy and new jobs in green energy sectors. Well, I found this article from Axios over the weekend, and it's just so funny how things are packaged in different ways. This article in Axios points out how the Biden administration is pumping billions of dollars into Republican states and into swing states. So many of these job-creating programs are being put in place. We've talked at length about, you know, the money in Wisconsin. A combined $46 billion in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia. There's also $10 billion in grants and investments in Michigan and North Carolina. Plenty more announcements from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act. Anyway, for all of this, it's summed up in this Axios headline: Biden's 2024 goodie bags, laws pump billions into Republican swing states. And it's really something to see this framing of job creating goodies and to talk about the impact it would have on an election year. When I look at this, and there's so much more here that's listed, and all I see on this is somebody finally getting some work done. We have been dependent upon fossil fuel for far too long. There's been a big push to reduce American reliance on foreign oil. Domestic fossil fuel production is at an all-time high. We've done that part. But doing the next part on getting off of fossil fuels takes investment. Takes investment in creating new jobs, new industries, new infrastructure. Finally, somebody did something about it. And yeah, it's going to cost some money. You got to, you know, spend a nickel to make a dollar. And you can't do that if you're promising nothing but budget cuts. And instead, President Biden and Democrats during the first 2 years of his term have made those investments. But to see them framed as goodies, or as a, here's one that calls it a slush fund for environmental protection, I don't think people are going to think that when the jobs are being created to, again, benefit some of these new factories and some of the domestic manufacturing. Domestic manufacturing is as high as it's been in many, many years. And the economy and the jobs report that came out on Friday that showed another more than 300,000 jobs have been created and that unemployment is down to 3.8% is real testimony to what it means when somebody finally gets the work done. But now contrast that with the second 2 years of Biden's term when Republicans took over the House of Representatives and the chaos that has ensued by a gang that not only has not created jobs, well, I take that back. They've probably created some jobs amongst, you know, political journalists to try to cover all of the chaos that's going on in how long it took to elect a speaker and then the work to unelect a speaker and then the work to find somebody new to be a temporary speaker. And nowhere in there are you seeing things about creating jobs, helping out domestic manufacturing, making us less reliant on fossil fuels, things like that. So it seems like between what's happening on the investment front and the student loan debt front, the president's going to have a lot of things that he can talk about in Wisconsin, but he's going to be facing a national media that still likes to frame some of these things as goodie bags rather than what they actually are. Somebody finally doing the work. You can see more of that online at upnorthnewswi.com and on social media, where we've got an article in there specific to rural investment in the rural economy that's been done by the Biden administration, by Senator Tammy Baldwin, by Governor Tony Evers as well. So take a look for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. Hard to believe it's been 24 years. Not since the song. The song is much older than 24 years. But 24 years since Christopher Walken was in that famous skit on Saturday Night Live. Do you have it handy there, Mr. Bach?
I do. Hold on one second. Put this down and bring another fader up. That's a radio term. Here we go.
Guess what? I got a fever.
What do you need?
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Thank you, Bruce.
Oh, God. Still a classic after all these years. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller join us, as they often do on Monday mornings here on Up North News Radio. All of you remember seeing that early on, or were you late arrivals to the cowbell skit?
I think I watched it the first time. I do. I remember watching it and thinking, this is special. I didn't know it was this special, but it was funny.
I thought it was funny, but you know what? You know what? I'm sure I was shouting at the TV. And you know what I was shouting at the TV?
What?
This was long before Jimmy Fallon was ever thought of as a late night host or a Tonight Show host. Him always cracking up at his own jokes and always breaking character on Saturday Night Live. He could not, Greg.
Point of order, sir.
Yes, sir.
If you go through the Bill Hader years, and Bill Hader was one of the best Saturday Night Live cast members ever, Bill Hader suffered from the exact same problem, and no one ever gives him guff for it. In fact, they find it charming.
Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Because it always makes me laugh when they laugh, and that's the whole point, isn't it?
It is to a point. My point is like it's like all the time with Fallon, and apparently a hater, but I didn't notice it as much with Fallon. Like, keep it together, man, you know.
When we do improv stuff, like, it's very like that is like a rule, like, yeah, you stay in character. Mm-hmm. Like, we would go out like in the town in character. We'd have to stay in character as like practice, and even in, like, I was ridiculous characters, and we would have to go downtown and go out and have events and pretend. We would have to stay in character as like
I know, because I would get calls at the TV station going, hey, do you know one of your reporters is acting really weird? And I'd be like, no, she's in a play, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Although the best line from that sketch is never really quoted as much as the cowbell. I get why the cow, it's the cowbell, but he says I make gold. He goes, I put my pants on one leg at a time, but when I do it, I make gold records. Like, that line is just,
Walken is just is so good.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was appreciated at that point. I think that was what really helped people see this guy is so good when he comes on these shows.
I love how your voice like went to Christopher Walken when you said that. This guy.
this guy is really good on Saturday Night Live. So talented.
Birthdays today. Julian Lennon was born to John Lennon and his first wife, Cynthia, and he is 61 years old today.
Oh, this song.
It's from 1984.
Oh.
Ever since you've been leaving me.
Birthdays today include Matt Healy, lead singer of the 1975, is 35 years old today. And happy 85th birthday to former Governor Marty Schreiber, Governor of Wisconsin from 1977 to 1979. Let's see. Greg has the notes, so he knows the answer to this. So if I were to say to you, Selena and Kristen, that the single By the Doors, Break On Through to the Other Side, peaked at its position on the chart, and we'll let Greg play a few seconds of it, then you tell me where you think it peaked on the chart. I'm just going to tell you it was not the number one hit this day in 1967. How do you think they did it on the charts? Just grab a number.
Five?
Okay, Selena?
Six.
126.
Really?
That's as high as it got. It's again, just makes that point that album rock, not the same as, you know, top 40 radio, and that everybody was playing it off their albums, but not buying it as a 45. So yeah, it peaked at 126 on this day. Their next release, Light My Fire, did go to number one. The number one song this day in 1989 was by Roxette. Here's something I learned over the weekend. The Venus de Milo. You know the statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody's kind of picturing it. I thought it was one of those things that has like always been around. Everybody's kind of known where it was at some point, like other things. No, this is one of those things that was lost to humanity for the longest time, until on this day in 1820, on the island of Milos, when a farmer was doing some digging and discovered it. The Venus de Milo was like buried in a field someplace.
I have the notes in front of me from the moment I walk in the studio, and I should have known that's what the story was, but I'm like, what does the Venus de Milo have to do with Roxette? Like, where is this going?
There's more to this story. Like, how did it get there? There must have been some sort of investigation and people hypothesizing about how the Venus de Milo ended up in a field.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just, when I saw that and I saw the little story about the farmer and people saying, oh, leave it there. And they you know, extracted other you know, parts of the statue from there, including the arms, which were no longer attached. So yeah, it tells me there might be more of a story there. On this day in 1994, the Offspring released their breakthrough album, Smash, on the independent label Epitaph Records. Here's one single from there. The Offspring's Smash sold over 10 million copies worldwide, and so on this day in 1994, it became the best-selling independently released and distributed album of all time. Selena Hell is going to tell us in our next hour some of the stories that she's working on for Up North News. We're also going to ask Kristen Lyerly, what's new?
Do you do anything
this weekend?
We're just coffee clutching this morning. I love it.
No, you're what? Are you 72, 96 hours into being a candidate for Congress here?
Yeah, something like that. And it's been a busy weekend. We had the 8th Congressional District's meeting up in Lakewood. So we were in Northern Oconto County with a bunch of friends, and that was really exciting. And then we went to Field and Forest and visited with some mushroom farmers. And man, I'm a master gardener, so I know a lot about gardening, but I don't know much about mushrooms. Wait, I learned a lot.
Wait.
Me too.
You're a master gardener?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, she is, Pat. And so is Selena. And we're nothing.
Isn't it fun though? It's such a great course. It's through the UW Extension, mm-hmm. and they focus on, it's like, is it still 3 years where they focus on different things every year, and you learn about annuals and perennials and trees and grass and
fertilizing,
vegetables, mm-hmm. fruits. Okay. Like, you learn about everything.
Much more of what we would call radio fertilizer is coming up right after the news here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio for this Monday morning, April 8th.